What amazing, amazing stories. It's so great to hear, isn't it, of Lisa and Ray getting baptized. And do you know what? I really, really like Philip's talks as well. Have you ever been in a situation where you have had to convey your last words to somebody, or somebody has had to convey their last words to you? Well, it was a few years ago now, but Martin and I, my husband, were celebrating our 10th wedding anniversary, and my parents had very kindly offered to look after our three small kids so we could go to Rome and celebrate. And so it was really exciting. We'd taken our kids to my parents' house. We were sleeping on the lounge floor, getting ready to go. And this sense of sort of panic began to come over me as I realized that I was leaving my three children and I was flying to another country. And I just felt like, what if something really bad happens? What if the plane crashes? What if we're abducted by aliens? What if we never make it back and we never get to see our children again? I'm a little bit dramatic at times, I give you that. So I decided to write them a note with my last words in. So if any of those different examples happen, if the aliens did get me, they would have my last words. So I wrote this note on A4 paper, I scribbled it down, and I was like, try really hard at school. I don't know why I said that, but I think I did. Try really hard at school, dream big, remember that we really, really love you, and that we really want you to get to know Jesus as your friend and as your savior. Be good for grandma and granddad, because they're going to have to look after you. And a few things like that. And it just made me feel a lot better. Put it in the envelope, wrote on the front, to be opened in the event of our deaths, and left it on the kitchen table as we left about 3 a.m. We didn't die. And aliens, phew, did not abduct us, so it was okay. And we made it home, and I got the letter. Nobody had opened it, as far as I know, unless my mum and dad had steamed it open and put it back together and had a little chuckle on my behalf. But we, you know, I just wanted them to know what was really, really important. And there have been a few occasions in my life where I have had to convey my last words. And another occasion is the time when I spent a few moments, probably about 20 minutes, just me and my dad, when he was struggling with a really difficult and terminal illness. And it was the last time that I properly saw him before he died. And it was such a sweet time. And I didn't know for sure that it would be the last time that we would be together. And actually, I did see him one more time before he died, but in that moment, he was not really conscious, and he wasn't really himself. He was really confused. But the time before that was our last time together. And remember, we were sitting out in the sort of porch outside my parents' house, and we laughed together about some joke that he cracked. And I just held his hand, and I just said, "Dad, you know, you are and have been such a brilliant dad, and I love you so much. You are just the best." And we talked about heaven, which was amazing because we both kind of knew that he was going to be going there. We talked about the fact that he'd had a good life. We talked about the fact that he was kind of a bit fearful about what was to come. But it was a really, really sweet time. And when he died, I knew that that had been a bit of a gift to me, and that I had had the chance to sort of convey my last words to him. And he had had the chance to convey his last words to me. And when you get those moments, you really want to make them count. You don't want to talk about the stuff that's not important. You're not going to say, "Oh, do you know what? Toilet rolls are like 2 for the price of 1 at the moment. It's Sainsbury's. Let's get down there." You're not going to do that. You're not going to waste your words on stuff that is really unimportant, although toilet rolls are, let's face it, very important. You're going to actually talk about the really important stuff. And the passage of scripture that we're going to read tonight is brilliant, because what it does, it conveys Jesus, or some of Jesus' last words to us. And in fact, they are the very last words in Matthew's gospel, which is one of the biographies of Jesus' life and death. And we're going to get to read them. And, you know, it's 2,000 years ago that Jesus said these words, but they were some of his last words. And the importance and the weight that kind of is on them is what I really hopefully want us to kind of get tonight. But before we jump into the scripture, I'm aware that there'll be lots of different types of people here tonight. There will be people that, you maybe your guests of Elisa and Ray. You're here, and maybe this is really unusual for you to be in a sort of church setting, singing songs, hearing some woman speak at the front, all that sort of stuff. Maybe it feels a bit random. I'm a bit random at times, let's just face it. But, you know, if you're feeling a little bit out of your depth tonight, if this feels a little bit unusual, then that's kind of okay. And we're so glad that you're here. And we're so glad that you're up for supporting your friends, but also that you're up for being curious and asking questions. So my invitation to you is, as I speak and as we talk about the Bible, that you are open and willing to ask questions. And, you know, disagree, that's fine, but maybe not during the sermon, because that would be a little bit awkward. But I'm happy for you to disagree with me after the sermon, at the end of the service. So let's jump into the word, the scripture, and we're going to read these words, which are some of Jesus' last words, and they're going to come up on the screen. They're behind me. It's magic. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." Wow. I don't know if you get the weight of that, but they're pretty weighty words. Now, when Jesus said those words, he basically had the world in his sights. He had his sort of 12 men around him, there were 11 at that point. There was one missing. That's another story. But he had ask Philip later what happened to the other one. But he had these people around him, these men around him, and he was giving them this incredible command that was not just about them. It wasn't just about what they should do necessarily just in the next few days and weeks and months. He had sort of this vision of where he wanted the message of his life and death and resurrection to go. And what he was doing, in essence, is he was passing the baton to them. He was passing the baton to them so that they would get what he was saying, that they would pass it on to the next generation and make disciples of them, that they would pass it on to the next generation and make disciples of them, and they would pass it on to the next generation and make disciples of them. Do you get where I'm going? Yeah, thank you. That will stop me from going on and on. Basically, he's passing the baton on to them all the way down through the last 2,000 years, and he's passing the baton on to us. And what he's doing is saying, yes, what I want you to do is not to just keep this to yourselves, but I want you to pass it on to those that are going to come behind you. And what Jesus is inviting us into, as he says, go make disciples, is that he's inviting us to be learners and apprentices of him. The Greek word for disciple is mathetes. Learn from me and go and do as I do. That's what he's inviting the disciples into, and that's what he's inviting us into as we learn from him too. And what that means is he wants us to learn how to follow him, how to live life like him, how to know what it's like to be loved by him, and how to live from that place of love so that we can love others. There's a depth and a breadth in that word, which is just not easy to sort of explain in one sort of preach. It takes a lifelong, to be honest, a lifelong journey of being a disciple to understand what a disciple is. You see, he had this amazing vision. Even though he lived in a tiny part of Israel for all of his life, he knew that his life and his message was not just for a tiny place in Israel, but his message of his life and his death and his resurrection was for the world. It wasn't just for him and a few of his mates. He saw way beyond that. And he talks later on about going to all nations, to every nation, to every single person that there is, needs to hear this message of Jesus. And do you know what? What started out is this little community of people around Jesus has ended up now, I checked it on Google, it must be true, 2.54 billion Christians in the world. You might feel like a minority in your university. You might feel like a minority in your friendship group. You might feel like a minority in your workplace. You might feel like a minority in your street. You might be the only Christian that you know apart from here at Metro. But you are not in the minority. Christianity isn't this small little thing that we do behind closed doors and we kind of keep it a secret. Jesus never had that as his vision for the world. It was to go to all nations, to go out to the whole world. And that's what he's doing in this moment. He's casting that vision. And what we're doing tonight is we baptize Alyssa and Ray. Is that, you know, the continuation of that message is happening as they are taking that step of obedience to be baptized just like Jesus was, in the way that he was. Only it was in the River Jordan and it was really sunny and hot, you know, and they had sandals on and stuff. But, you know, now it's cold and we're doing it in a pool. But, you know, it's still water and they're still getting wet and they're still being baptized in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Which leads me on to my second point, my second command that Jesus gives in this moment. And that is, baptize them in the name of the Father and in the name of the Son and in the name of the Holy Spirit. And we're going to do this in a few minutes. And what's going to happen is somebody, I'm not sure who it is, but someone's going to ask them those questions about what they believe and who they're choosing to follow. So what's actually going on here? Well, what is going on is that they are taking a step of discipleship. They're taking a step of commitment to say, yes, what I want to do is follow Jesus for the rest of my life. And they haven't just become Christians. Their journey didn't start here tonight. They've been Christians for a while. But what they're doing here is they're saying publicly in front of you lot, actually, I'm going public with this. Not that it hasn't been public before, but that I'm going public and I want everyone to know. It's going to be on YouTube. Let's face it, that's pretty public. That I am going to be baptized in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And that means, yeah, I know God the Father loves me. That's what they're saying. I know that he loves me. I know that Jesus died for me, for my sin, to get rid of my sin and my shame and the stuff that I do in my life, that Jesus died on the cross to defeat that stuff and to defeat death. And they're saying, yeah, and I'm saying yes to the Holy Spirit to come and fill me and make me the person that he wants me to be. And when they come up out of the water, there's going to be some folk praying for them, going to bless them. They're going to welcome the presence of the Holy Spirit to come and help them do life, because we cannot do life as a Christian in our own strength. Has anybody tried it? Yeah, Matt has. Matt, what's it like? It's not easy, is it? Not good. Not good. We heard it there. It's not good. It's impossible. It's impossible to do a life of following Jesus without the power of the Holy Spirit. You can try it, but I don't recommend it. And actually, one of the wonderful things that I get to do is that I'm involved in running Alpha with a team up at Woody's. And I've met some of you at Alpha, which is just so cool. And one of the things that we've done recently, on every Alpha course, we will have a Holy Spirit Day where we do the teaching on who the Holy Spirit is and what he does and how he helps us to live our lives as Christians. And there's a guy who's just completed Alpha before Christmas, and he came to the Holy Spirit Day, and we got to pray for him. And it was so cool because he just experienced the love of God. This guy's not a Christian. Well, I think he had just become a Christian at that point, but he's not from a faith background. He's not from a church background. He didn't know anything about Christianity or faith apart from what he'd learned around church and doing Alpha. And I asked him, how did that impact you? What difference has that made to your life? And he said, Rachel, experiencing the Holy Spirit was a game changer for me. It was a game changer for me. Because he, in that moment, experienced something in his life which could not be replicated in any other way. He couldn't get it from watching Netflix or scrolling through social media or just like meditating on something or trying to be really good or looking at mountains. You know, all those things aren't necessarily bad on themselves. Looking at mountains, that's random, isn't it? It is good, though, to be honest, looking at a mountain. But he experienced it because he opened himself up to God, who loves him, to Jesus, who died for him, and he welcomed the presence of the Holy Spirit. And that's why we're going to be praying for them, because we cannot do life following Jesus in our own strength. The third command that I want to talk about as part of this little passage is Jesus says, teach them to obey everything I have commanded you. Teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. You know, following Jesus means trying to learn from Jesus' life, trying to live as Jesus lived, trying to respond to people how Jesus responded to people, trying to put into practice the things that he taught, trying to trust God when it might seem really difficult to trust him. And Jesus' teaching is so relevant today. It wasn't just relevant 2,000 years ago when he was around wearing sandals. I keep mentioning sandals. I've got a thing about sandals tonight. Maybe it's because I want the summer to come. You know, wearing sandals and his, whatever Jewish men wore, kind of big cloaks or something. I don't know what that is, no, big sort of sack stuff. Anyway, Jesus' teaching was super relevant in those times. But Jesus' teaching is super relevant for our times. And I love the fact that Metro, the last few weeks, you've been talking about sex and relationships. Sex and relationships, how relevant is that to our sort of history, our culture, our society at the moment? Sex is everywhere. Relationships are complex. And yet the teachings of Jesus in the New Testament are super relevant to our culture, to your age group, to my age group, to our society. And that is such a beautiful, brilliant thing. And it illustrates perfectly that following Jesus' teachings, to obey his commands, is just as important today as it was way back then. And I just want to kind of mention something about this, because we can get a little bit caught up in, like, what does it mean to obey God? We want to be obedient followers of Jesus. And actually, these guys are doing that by getting baptized. But actually, obedience is a response to God's love for us. We cannot earn God's love by being obedient. You know, you can try really hard to follow the Ten Commandments, to do all the right things, and to be really good. That will not make God love you any more than he already does. But actually, as we experience his love, as we love him, as he loves us, you will find that you want to live in obedience to him, because you know that living according to his teachings brings you freedom, brings you peace, helps you forgive people who have wronged you, helps you love those people that just seem really unlovable and really irritating. You will find yourself forgiving them and loving them, and your life kind of coming in to line with what Jesus teaches. You won't have to make yourself be obedient by gritting your teeth and by trying really hard, as you welcome the power of the Spirit in your life. As you get to know Jesus, as you follow him, he will begin to change you from the inside out. One of the great things that me and a few of my friends do is we run this group called Post Alpha. And it's when people have come through Alpha, they come to this group in our home, and we explore some of the teachings of Jesus. And we have journeyed with some people over the years, and we've seen how they've started their journey of faith, and they've come to our home, and some of them have become Christians, some of them are not Christians. But as they get to know Jesus, we see their lives change before our very eyes. One lady, part of our group, she came to our group, she wasn't a Christian, her daughter had become a Christian, she was really interested and inquisitive with what the changes going on in her life. And as she kept journeying and wrestling with what she thought God was saying to her, as she tried to work it out, she realized that she was beginning to believe in the Jesus that her daughter was beginning to believe in. And actually, as she was following Jesus, as she was trying to learn what it meant to follow him and put his sort of commands into place in her life, she realized that she was changing on the inside. And to cut a really long story short, she had been estranged from her mum for 30 years. Had been a bit of an abusive, difficult relationship, and she'd pulled back from that relationship because it was so damaging. And she felt like God was saying to her that she needed to reach out and step out and rekindle that relationship and try and find her mum. So she did. And it was nerve-wracking and tentative, but incredibly, she managed to track her down. She found out where she lived. She moved in with her during lockdown to try and help her because her mum was disabled. She was very poorly. She managed to bring her to Bristol, and she managed to stay with her for the last few weeks of her life, and she was there when she died. And this beautiful relationship that had been broken and so damaged and difficult ended up being something really beautiful. And I was able to be there with them as she had passed and pray with them and pray with her and pray with her family. And I just thought, God is so beautifully redemptive. As we follow him, as we say yes to Jesus, as we say yes to Father God, as we say yes to the Holy Spirit, he works in our lives and redeems the things that we think aren't possible to redeem. So there are our three commands, but I want to end on a promise because it's such a good one. And it says this, Jesus says at the beginning of this, all authority and power has been given to me. And then he ends with, I am with you always to the very end of the age. That is the last words of Matthew's gospel. I am with you always to the very end of the age. He'll be with you to the very end of your age, the very end of your days, the very end of my days. He will be with us. He promises never, ever to leave us. What an incredible promise. And it comes off the back of the beginning bit where Jesus says, all authority and power has been given to me. So God has given Jesus all this authority, all this power. And as we read the Gospels and we read the life of Jesus, we see that authority. It's incredible. He heals the sick. He feeds 5,000 people with a few loaves and a few fish. He raises the dead. He drives out demons. He himself is raised from the dead. How much more authority can you have? He walks on water. He silences the storm. The authority that we see in Jesus' life is spectacular. And Jesus says, this authority that's been given to me is with you. Because I am with you to the very end of the age. And that means what it says. It's not a trick, and it's not sort of just a myth or a nice thing to say to make us feel good. I'm with you, but I'm not really. He is with us to the very end of the age. And does that mean that our lives are charmed as Christians? That we will glide through life, never breaking out a sweat? Things, beautiful things and blessings falling into our hands at every turn? No. Just in case you were thinking, oh, is it? No, it doesn't mean that. But what it means is, however life is for us, whether it is great and, you know, we love it when life goes well, or whether it is really hard and we're struggling, he is with you. He is with you. And that means that as you go home later, he is with you. As an unexpected crisis hits this week or this month or this year, he is with you. As a difficult health diagnosis might come your way or might come the way of someone that you love, he is with you. When your mental health takes a bit of a dip and you're like, oh my gosh, how am I here? I was doing great yesterday and now I'm not. He is with you. When you're stressing about your exams and your assignments or your work or balancing everything, he is with you. I think it was Elisa that said that she had learned that nothing can separate us from the love of God. And that was said by one of Jesus' friends called John. And he had learned that from watching Jesus, but also experiencing Jesus as well. And whatever life looks like for you right now, whether you're a Christian or whether you're not a Christian, whether you're just here sort of as an observer, a casual observer, like Ray wandered in, sat at the back, love that. You're so welcome to do that. Actually, wherever you are, Jesus wants to be with you. He wants to be allowed to show up and be with you in your lives. I've been following Jesus a long time. You can tell by the wrinkles in the side of my face. And Alan, you laughed far too loud then. That was too loud. I heard it. But I have. I've been following Jesus a long time. And I'm going to sort of tell the story as I come into land. And I've got to be honest, you know, I love it when life's going well. I do, when I'm on the mountaintop and experiencing God in those good moments. But do you know what? Where I've met God the most has been in the valley, has been in the pit, has been in the cave when life isn't going so well. To be honest, for me, those are the times where I've really got to know Jesus better, where I have leaned in and stepped in and experienced his love for me. And 5 years, I can't believe it, but 5 years this month, I was halfway through my treatment for cancer. And I was every day I was going up to the oncology unit at the BRI for my treatment. And it popped up on my photo memories, you know, some of the trips that I'd made. I photographed them. What was that about? I don't know. You know, I Instagrammed. But, you know, difficult times. I had times of real anxiety in that time. I had times of being quite fearful in that time. I had times where just life was very uncertain. I didn't know if I was going to come through. I didn't know if I was going to come through sort of unmaimed by it, whether I would have a disability because of the therapy and the treatment that I was going to have and the surgery that was going to follow. I didn't know any of that. But I can honestly say with integrity that during that season, I met Jesus closer than I had for the years before. And there was one particular occasion where it was the day I was going to get my results from my biopsy. It was the day I was going into Southmead to meet my consultants and find out if I had cancer or not. And it all looked like I probably did, but until the biopsy came back, they weren't going to say I did have cancer. And actually, that night I went to bed and I just felt in the pit of my stomach fear, real fear. What is my life going to be like after tomorrow? And I thought, I'm going to set my alarm to get up really early. I hate getting up really early. But I decided that I wanted to do something deliberate. And I wanted to meet Jesus before I went to meet my consultant. So I set my alarm for about 6:30. I know some of you say, that's not early. But it is for me. Set my alarm for 6:30. I went, crept downstairs, didn't want to wake up the kids or my husband. And I went into the kitchen. And I put on some worship music. I sat in the darkness. And I watched the sun rise, literally coming up out my kitchen window. And I prayed and I said, God, I'm scared. I'm really scared. But I'm handing my life again into your hands. I know you are with me. Nothing can separate me from the love of God, not even cancer, not even death. And although I'm scared, although I'm fearful, I'm trusting you today to walk with me through this day. And no matter what it brings, I know you're with me. As I walk into that room with that consultant, you are with me. And I just welcomed his presence. And it was such a sweet moment. I met with the Lord. And is every day like that? No, it's not. To be honest, it's not. But in those moments of crisis where we call out to him, where we lean on him, where we open ourselves to him, he is near. And those words that he says, I will never leave you and I am with you to the very end, are so true, are so true. And as I finish, I guess that's what I really want you to take away. There might be certain things that have sort of hit you today or resonated to you from this talk. But I really want you to know that he is with you. If you're a follower of Jesus, if you've committed yourself to him, he is with you. And as you leave tonight and go back to whatever you go out to, whatever your week looks like, he is with you. What would your life look like if you really believe that? What would your week look like if you really believe that Jesus was with you? If you really believe that if you walked into uni tomorrow, if you walked into work tomorrow, he is with you. When you're faced with a difficult colleague or a difficult situation or a relationship breakdown or a crisis of not knowing what to do, you believe Jesus was actually with you. What would your life look like if you had really grasped that and if I really grasped that? I think he wants some of you to really grasp that tonight and to make some changes, to kind of reframe how you see him and how he affects your life and what difference he wants to make in those situations. Maybe you're here and you don't know Jesus yet. And you're here curious and wondering, what's going on and is this for me? Well, thank you so much for being here and listening to me. I want to invite you to stay curious, to stay asking questions. Maybe try going to Alpha. I'll be there on Wednesday night and you're so welcome to come. We're talking about why did Jesus die? It's a brilliant topic. And you're so welcome to come and just check in and see what you think about it. And if you don't like it, you don't have to come back. But if you're here and you're searching, can I ask you to stay curious and to keep coming back to Metro? Sit on the back row like Ray did. It's really comfy back there. I was on there tonight. And just so welcome to keep coming to sitting on that back row and to saying, God, are you here? Do you love me? Is this real? And I trust and I believe that he will show himself. Maybe you haven't been baptized yet. Maybe you're not sure whether it's for you. Well, let me throw out a challenge. If you haven't ever been baptized and you're serious about Jesus, do it. Don't overthink it. You haven't got to be a certain level of holy or spiritual to be there. If you love Jesus and you want to follow him, you want to be obedient to him, you want to be a follower of his, then get baptized, take that step. Chat to Philip or Kate or any of the leaders here, your hub leaders, and say, actually, I'm curious, I want to do it. And just take that step. You will not regret it. And finally, if you're facing difficulty or hardship tonight, if you're in a tough spot, whatever that may look like, whether it's health, mental health, whether it's uni stuff or relationships or family stuff, I really want to pray for you, particularly tonight as I finish. And I believe the Holy Spirit is here. He's here. And so I want to just take a moment before we go into the whooping and the celebrating to just pray for you. So let's just be quiet for a moment. Shut your eyes if you want to do that. And I'm going to pray. Holy Spirit, just invite you to speak to us and to come. Pray for your comfort to come to those that are really struggling, who are in crisis or feel like they're in crisis in this room tonight. Pray for those that are, yeah, whose mental health especially and whose maybe physical health is in a really tight spot. I just ask you, Holy Spirit, to come, to bring your comfort and to bring your healing. I ask you to just reveal the love of the Father to people's lives and hearts and minds right now. We welcome you, Spirit of God. Thank you that you make it real how God loves us, what Jesus did for us, that you are the one that comes and sort of cements that and makes it really real in our lives. And we just welcome your presence here tonight. Ask for you to heal. Ask for you to bring your comfort, to speak, to encourage, to strengthen. Pray for those that are searching and asking questions. Jesus, please reveal yourself to those guys, I pray. Show them what the next step is. Jesus, thank you that you promise never, never to leave us. Never to forsake us. Never to walk away from us. Pray for these guys, that they would be a light that shines in this city, that shines in their uni, that shines in their workplace. I pray for a boldness and a confidence to be over them, to be in them as they speak of you, as they grasp hold of what it means to be a disciple, to be an apprentice, to grasp hold of your last words with a kind of an invigoration and a passion that means that your word is not kept to themselves, but they tell it to everything and to everyone that they meet. Yeah, we ask them to really grasp the baton that's been passed to them, that's been passed to us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.